Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Closer Look True Crime Podcast, or welcome if you are new. Today I'm going to be talking about a case that I actually recently discovered and I was just completely blown away by. I 100% had a different case planned for this week, but I just had to cover this one, and that is the murder of Skylar Annette Neese. So without further ado, let's get right into today's case. So Skylar was born on February 10th, 1996 to her parents Mary and Dave Neese. She was their only child and honestly the light of their lives. She was known for being sweet, genuine, loving animals, playing outside, and just being a great kid. Fast forward to the second grade, Skylar was making a lot of new friends this year, and one of those friends was named Sheila Eddy, who ended up being her new best friend. They met at a community center and didn't go to the same school, but that did not stop the girls from becoming absolutely inseparable. Sheila did have some issues at home. Her parents divorced when she was 4 years old, and her dad was disabled, so he couldn't work, which made her home life very stressful. Sheila was also an only child, so she and Skylar really bonded over that. Skylar was always quieter, and Sheila was always a bit of a wild child, which was another thing that drew them even closer. Mary and Dave said that they thought Sheila was a nice girl, and she kind of became part of their family because her and Skylar were just so close. And because of Sheila's home life, they always tried to be as welcoming as possible, and she spent a lot of time at Skylar's house. So Skylar's family lived in an apartment in Star City, which is a small town in West Virginia. As I mentioned, Skylar and Sheila didn't go to the same elementary school, but Sheila ended up transferring to Skylar's high school for their first year of high school. Skylar was also a very smart girl who wanted to be a lawyer. She was very responsible and even had a job at Wendy's at the time. While the girls were in high school, Sheila's mom also got remarried, and she was really liking her new stepdad, so things seemed to be looking up for the girls. They were getting closer and closer every day, and they even decided to add a third person to their group. Rachel Schoaf was also in their grade, also grew up as an only child because her half-brother wasn't really in her life, and her parents were also divorced. Before high school, she went to a private Catholic school and was a pretty sheltered kid with wealth and religion and everything like that. She seemed to really like attention, was the star of school plays, and known to be a really nice girl. The three just kept getting closer and closer as time went on, and were becoming more sisters than friends. It seemed like nothing could ever break their bond, and any free time they had was spent together, and when they weren't together, they were communicating in some way, especially through Twitter. The girls really loved using Twitter, but specifically Sheila. Sheila probably hadn't gone a day without tweeting something since she got it and would just dump every thought that crossed her mind on her Twitter account. Mary and Dave were really happy Skylar had found her people and was doing well in school and everything. However, over time, some intergroup jealousy started to arise. I feel like a lot of people can agree that trios don't always work, and I feel like there's always a duo within the group, and sometimes even multiple duos within a group, and one person is always left out. And as time went on, Rachel and Sheila were becoming a lot closer, and Skylar was the one finding herself left out of things a lot. One time on the 4th of July 2012, Skylar even tweeted about her feelings after Rachel and Sheila made plans without her, and she said, "Sick of being effing at home. Thanks, friends. Love hanging out with you all too." Sheila and Rachel had been making plans more without her and would plan matching outfits and just leave Skylar out of everything. Sheila and Skylar had also been fighting a lot recently, and Rachel seemed to be trying to push Skylar out of the group. Another thing that had been happening more recently was that Skylar was getting into some trouble and rebelling a bit more. The three of them, when they were getting along, had been going across the Pennsylvania border to smoke and were getting into drinking as well. Mary and Dave had found out and had been really cracking down on Skylar a bit more recently to try to steer her away from this, and all of this behavior was thanks to Sheila. And as I said, Sheila was always the wild child and was starting to become a really bad influence on Skylar and Rachel. Skylar's friends had even been noticing her changing and told her how they were feeling about Sheila's influence on her, but she just dismissed it. Skylar's parents were also starting to notice that Rachel was becoming a bad influence too and was kind of becoming a mini Sheila. She seemed to be so obsessed with Sheila's bad girl energy and was becoming more and more like her every day. Rachel's friends were also noticing that she was changing and brought it up, but she just idolized Sheila so much that she never listened to them or was able to see what they were seeing. There were also so many rumors going around that Sheila and Rachel were in a relationship because they were just so close, and there's no way to verify this, but I just feel like that really puts their closeness into perspective. Then the next day, that after Skylar made that tweet on the 4th of July, July 5th, 2012, Skylar had a shift at Wendy's until about 10 p.m. She got home, said goodnight to her parents who were watching TV, and wanted to have a early bedtime so she could get up the next morning and be productive. However, at 12:30 a.m., she decided to sneak out of her window using a small stool she placed outside. She took her regular carried items, such as her phone, purse, and wallet. She was seen on her apartment's security camera walking to the road and getting in the backseat of a car at 12:31 a.m. Then a few hours later, Dave woke up for work and assumed Skylar was still sleeping in her room. He planned to work his morning shift that day and then drive home to give Skylar the car so that she could drive to her shift at Wendy's and then bring the car home later that night. Mary also left for work around the same time, but let Skylar sleep in because it was summer break and she figured she just needed the sleep. So Dave came home about midday to give Skylar the car, but her door was still locked. He immediately found this very unusual because Skylar wasn't one to lock her door, especially not in the middle of the day when she was home alone. So he knocked on the door and tried to talk to her, but she didn't hear breathing, anything, talking, nothing. He said he instantly got a wave of fear and knew that she wasn't in there, so he ran outside to her window and saw the little bench that she used to get out of her window outside, saw that the window was still open and that Skylar was not inside. He put the pieces together right away and started freaking out because it was now midday, getting closer to her shift, and she should have been home by now. As I said, Skylar was known for her responsibility and wouldn't just not show up for her shift, so Dave was really starting to get worried. He called all of her friends, and Sheila claimed that they had talked to her around 12 the night before, but had no idea where she was or where she could be. Mary was also very concerned, but she didn't want Dave to get too worried, and she wanted just everyone to stay calm, so she said that they would wait, like an hour or so, and just make sure that Skylar made it to her shift. She knew that she would make it, and if they didn't, she would just call police at that point. But while she was on her way home from work, she got a call saying that Skylar hadn't showed up from her shift, and immediately both Mary and Dave were now extremely worried and called 911 right away.
I have a daughter that's 16 years old. Apparently she snuck out of her room last night and she hasn't been seen since. None of her friends can get a hold of her. I can't find her.
What's her name?
Skylar Neese.
At this time, there was still a rule where you couldn't report people missing for the first 48 hours, which is just ridiculous, and thankfully isn't the case in a lot of places anymore, but at the time it was the case. Skylar also wasn't eligible for an Amber Alert because there were 4 points she had to meet where she lived to be able to have an Amber Alert. She had to be believed to be abducted, under 18, in danger of injury or death, and sufficient information that the alert would be helpful, which they couldn't prove. Police also thought she was a runaway, but Mary and Dave knew this wasn't in her character and tried to convince police of this, but had no luck. She left a ton of important items at home, such as her hair straightener, contacts, charger, toothbrush, and her security blanket that meant absolutely everything to her. So they knew something bad had happened to her and that she wouldn't just up and leave like this. And pretty early on in the investigation, Mary said that she actually felt that Skylar was no longer with them. So they decided to take things into their own hands and immediately were frantically contacting friends, relatives, driving around neighborhoods, putting up missing persons posters. And shortly after Mary and Dave called 911, Sheila called Dave back and said that she and Rachel actually did pick up Skylar at 11 p.m. that night and drop her off around 12, but she just didn't tell him before because she didn't want to get in trouble. We know this isn't true and that she actually picked Skylar up at 12:30 because of the security footage, but police and parents hadn't found the footage yet, so they had no idea that Sheila was lying. Throughout the investigation, Sheila and her mom, Tara, were very willing to help. Sheila and Rachel were also constantly posting on social media about Skylar, but Sheila really took it over the top and even made Facebook support groups and was just constantly talking about Skylar on the internet. Sheila would call Mary and Dave often asking for updates on the case and would say things like, "I wish I knew something," or "I wish I could help." And at this point, Mary and Dave were really feeling the love from everyone who knew Skylar and felt like Sheila was really trying to be a part of this and help them. Mary even found Sheila sitting on Skylar's bed, sobbing and crying, and they had this nice moment and talked about how much they hoped Skylar would be coming home safe soon. And from the very first day, Tara and Sheila were walking around with Mary and Dave and a police officer, knocking on doors, asking if anyone had security cameras that they could share footage of, or if they'd seen Skylar. And while they were walking around, knocking on doors, Mary even remembered that they had just installed new cameras at their apartment complex. And so they checked these cameras and discovered that Skylar actually left at 12:31. However, since the footage was grainy, they couldn't see what type of car she got into and just assumed Skylar had left again after Sheila dropped her back off. I don't know why, but they just didn't check to see if she was seen on security cameras when Sheila said that they left because they had no reason to assume that Sheila was behind this. And this footage further supported police's theory that Skylar was a runaway, so they basically refused to do anything in her case until June 9th, 2012 rolled around, and they realized that she probably would have come back, or there would have been some sign that she was out there if she was a runaway, and there wasn't, so they just decided to really pick up the case and get it going. The FBI joined the search for Skylar and started interviewing everyone in Skylar's life, and of course, Sheila was interviewed. And the investigator interviewing her said that something just seemed so wrong about her. She said that the two best words to describe her were narcissistic and plain wrong. Rachel wasn't interviewed for a while, though, because she had gone on a boat trip with her mom and a family friend on July 6th, the day that Skylar went missing. And one thing her mom noticed when they were on this trip is that Rachel had a really deep, bad cut on her ankle that she couldn't really explain. Then on July 7th, she went to church camp, so she still couldn't be interviewed, but they did do a phone call interview, and the detective said that she was super relaxed, not as panicked or worried about Skylar as Sheila, and would just say, "I don't know anything, you should talk to Sheila, she knows more." Then when she got back from church camp, she just kept trying to avoid her interview, and police actually had to track her down and bring her in for the interview. And they said that Rachel just basically repeated everything she said on the phone, almost word for word, like it was scripted. They also noticed that Sheila and Rachel's recollections of that night were almost completely the same, for word for word, and they were starting to worry that the girls had been communicating and scripting their recollection. Investigators also looked in Skylar's journal through her computers, phone records, everything, and in her journal's last entry was about a year before she went missing, and she talked about how Sheila could get away with anything and how fascinated she was with her. It was almost like she was wanting to live vicariously through Sheila. Then 2 weeks after this entry, Skylar made a tweet saying, "I would tell the whole school all the crap I have on them, which is a lot. Hashtag if I could get away with it." Then after her Wendy's shift on July 5th, she made two tweets saying, "You doing stuff like this is why I'd never completely trust you, and all I do is hope." And she was obviously referring to Sheila and Rachel in these tweets, so this just shows that they were definitely not getting along when she disappeared. Everyone in their community and school was also really struggling mentally with her being gone, but the person that seemed to be struggling the most was Sheila. She posted about it 24/7 and one time even posted on Skylar's Facebook group about how much she wanted her to be home and how much she missed her, and Dave even responded to her post saying, "She will be home soon, honey. Love you." And she replied, "Love you too." And because Skylar went missing between her sophomore and junior year in high school, and there was not that much information on what happened to her, rumors were spreading like wildfire. Some people said that she ran away with a secret boyfriend. Some people say she was abducted from an online predator. Some people say she was even on the run for robbing a bank. And I would just like to mention that this did have some reasoning behind it. A bank had been robbed about a week before her disappearance and 10 days after, but that's obviously not what happened to Skylar. Eventually, people started speculating that Rachel and Sheila had something to do with her disappearance. Someone suggested that Skylar overdosed and they hid her body to save themselves. Others suggested that they straight up killed her. The media also really started picking up the case around this time and was speculating that Rachel and Sheila were behind this, and this kind of planted the seed in investigators' head that Rachel and Sheila were definitely hiding something. Then on September 3rd, a warrant was issued to seize all of Rachel and Sheila's electronic devices and communications. They definitely felt like Rachel and Sheila knew something, and the theory was is that there was an accidental overdose or something had happened, and Rachel and Sheila were just panicked and abandoned Skylar. So police decided to clue in Mary and Dave, but had told them not to let on that they knew police were on to Rachel and Sheila, as it could just completely compromise the case. Shortly after, investigators also finally realized that it was Sheila that picked up Skylar at 12:31 and that nobody picked up Skylar at 11 p.m., like she said. From other surveillance footage at a convenience store, they saw the girls in Sheila's car and they were just able to connect the dots finally. They also now couldn't figure out why Sheila would need to lie about when she picked up Skylar unless they were definitely hiding something. They decided not to clue in the girls on finding these security footages proving that their story was not real and just wanted to see if they'd end up confessing to something. Then on October 2nd, 2012, Sheila posted a picture of her and Skylar on the Teen Skylar Facebook page and said, "Skylar, I'm sorry I haven't posted in a while. School has been taking up all my time. I miss you so much in school. Me and Rachel miss you so much, especially at lunch. We sit at a lunch table alone. Come back school so we don't look like loners anymore, LOL. School is hard without you. Actually, everything is hard without you. I seriously think about you 24/7 and miss talking to you on the phone day and night. I know that you wouldn't like some of the things being said lately, so please come home and prove them all wrong." And it's believed that Sheila was referring to the rumors going around about Rachel and Sheila being behind Skylar's disappearance. So the girls were really starting to feel the heat, and people were definitely turning on them. Then two anonymous Twitter accounts had even been created that followed both the girls and started harassing them. These anonymous accounts would just send them really cryptic messages, and Sheila even responded to one of these messages and said, "No one on this earth can handle me and Rachel. If you think you can, you're wrong." Then shortly after this, a police officer on the case made a fake account of a high school student interested in Skylar's case so that police could kind of keep an eye on anything that Sheila was posting without it being super obvious. And within days, the investigator in charge of this said that he was very suspicious of Sheila. He said that she was tweeting about getting drunk, partying, and just doing bad things, and then would randomly throw in an "I miss you, Skylar" tweet. So at this point, police thought that Sheila and Rachel knew something, and they weren't telling them, and so they just kept bringing them in for questioning to try to crack their story, but the story always stayed suspiciously the same. As time went on, though, Rachel started becoming more nervous and reserved around police, while Sheila was still confident, cheerful, and definitely vain. She was always as close to the investigation as possible, while Rachel stayed as far away as possible. Rachel also tried to keep a lot of distance between her and Skylar's parents, whereas Sheila was over there almost every day. So fast forward to winter of 2012, police were thinking they were getting closer to the truth. They had found more security footage and were able to figure out the girls drove to Blacksville that night. Sheila and Rachel initially denied this, but police had also found text messages between the girls asking Skylar to sneak out around 11 p.m., which doesn't make sense with their story because they claim they were with her then. And at this point, Rachel and Sheila didn't know the police were onto them still, and they didn't know that the police knew that they weren't with Skylar at 11 and that they actually picked her up at 12:31. So they just kept denying and thinking they were not going to get caught. Police also started suggesting in the interviews that maybe they were doing drugs and maybe something happened to Skylar, but the girls just kept sticking to their story. Rachel, however, was starting to show signs of cracking. She really was starting to get quite nervous around police and like she didn't want to get in trouble almost. And in one interview, she kind of went rogue and told police that Skylar had just run into the woods that night. And although Sheila and her tried to run after her, they never saw her again. So obviously this was a huge change in story. And when Sheila was asked about this, she said that this was actually what happened. So it was obvious that they were communicating between those interviews to make sure they were on the same page. So police asked both girls to come in for polygraph tests. Sheila came in and did hers and completely failed. But when Rachel was being driven to her test, she jumped out of her car and ran to Sheila's house to talk to Sheila's mom. Then on December 16th, 2012, Mary wrote a very long Facebook post about Skylar and how Rachel and Sheila had been lying. They weren't telling investigators something and was kind of implying that Skylar was most likely dead somewhere because of Rachel and Sheila's behavior. And after this post was made, rumors really started to spread. Sheila seemed extremely unaffected and unbothered, but Rachel was really letting it get to her. She was struggling so much that her divorced parents decided to move back in together to keep an eye on her. This, however, didn't go very well at all. Her parents didn't really clue her in on their plans because they didn't want to fight with her about it. And one day, Rachel basically just came home to find out her dad was moving back in. And she did not take this well at all. She went running and screaming around the neighborhood and was even threatening to kill herself. Her dad actually had to restrain her to get her back in the house so her mom could call 911.
I have an issue with a 16-year-old daughter of mine. We can't control her anymore. She's hitting us. She's screaming. She's running through the neighborhood. Give me the phone. This is over. My husband's trying to contain her. Please hurry.
They really wanted Rachel to distance herself from Sheila and thought that she was definitely the root of her stress. They also didn't like Tara, Sheila's mom, because of her recent behavior. She had been fighting with investigators and even got one of them fired, and just seemed like she was really trying hard to compromise the case. And as Rachel's mental health declined more and more, her parents started wondering if she did have something to do with Skylar's disappearance, because why else would her anxiety be this high? So Rachel was taken to Chestnut Ridge, which is a psychiatric facility where she stayed for 5 days. And while she was being treated, Sheila did try to visit a few times, but the staff had been specifically ordered to not let her in under any circumstances. And immediately after Rachel was released, she was taken to the police station to take her polygraph test. Police thought the guilt was really breaking her down and believed that in this interrogation, she would tell them the truth, that Skylar had overdosed or something like that, and that they just had hidden her body, like they were just scared, but nothing could have prepared investigators for what she actually told them in that interview. Only a few questions into the interview, Rachel looked into the investigators' eyes and said, "We stabbed her." They were obviously in absolute shock and were not prepared for that. They asked Rachel to tell them the whole story from the beginning, and this is what she said. Rachel said that like every other spring break, Skylar and Sheila went on a trip together, and this year they went to Myrtle Beach. Except this trip didn't go as planned whatsoever. The girls were fighting the whole time, and when they came back, Sheila constantly complained to Rachel about how much she hated Skylar and wanted to get rid of her. At one point, teachers and classmates even heard the girls talking about how to get rid of a dead body, but suspected that they were talking about the dead body found in the area a few weeks earlier. Some classmates thought that they were planning to hurt Skylar or something, so they actually told her what they'd heard, and she just dismissed it and kept hanging out with them all spring semester. As summer got closer and closer, Skylar was kind of catching on to the attitude Rachel and Sheila had towards her, and was starting to feel a little unwelcome, which we know from the tweets I talked about earlier. Then that night, Rachel and Sheila texted Skylar, like I mentioned before, asking her to sneak out. And Skylar wasn't very keen on it at first, but eventually they were able to convince her. Sheila was driving that night and Rachel was in the passenger seat when they picked her up at 12:31. And meanwhile, there were paper towels, fresh changes of clothes, knives, and everything the girls would need to pull off their little plan in Sheila's trunk. And Skylar had no idea. Rachel and Sheila obviously didn't realize they were seen on cameras at the apartment complex, which is why they had no problem lying about their timeline. Then they drove 25 minutes to Blacksville on the Pennsylvania border to smoke. As I mentioned before, this was something they had been doing more often lately, so it wasn't out of the norm to be going there that night. The original plan was for them to drive on Route 19, then Route 7, but after seeing a state police car parked in an intersection, Sheila changed her mind and took the more scenic route. Eventually, they did make it to Pennsylvania and to their smoking spot, which was basically in the middle of nowhere. Rachel says they talked in the car for a few minutes before walking to their normal spot. And once they reached their normal spot, Skylar realized that she had forgotten her lighter. And when she turned around to walk back to the car, Rachel and Sheila counted 1, 2, 3, pulled out kitchen knives, and started aggressively stabbing Skylar. She was screaming and crying and completely shocked. I can't even imagine what that would have felt like. She tried to run, but she'd been stabbed in the knee and could barely walk. She fell backwards, and Rachel stopped stabbing her, but Sheila just kept going and left Skylar with over 50 stab wounds. And the last word Skylar could say before she died was why? The question we're all wondering. Rachel and Sheila let her bleed out while they tried to dig a hole. The ground was too rocky, though, so they decided to drag her underneath a tree and cover her in random branches and stuff. They turned off Skylar's phone and left it near her body before washing themselves off in the creek, getting changed into their fresh clothes, and driving home. On their way home, they dumped all of their rags and evidence and ended up making it home by 6 a.m. that morning. And pretty much as soon as they made it home, Sheila pops on Twitter after being inactive for 2 days and says, "Always keep your cool." So obviously investigators were not prepared in any way to hear this. The obvious and most biggest question that they had was, why? The same question that Skylar had. Rachel didn't really have an answer for them and just kept saying it was because they didn't like her anymore. Investigators asked if this was the only reason and if there was something that she wasn't telling them, but she basically just said that there was no other reason. It was black and white, they wanted their trio to be a duo, and it was as simple as that. Then the obvious next question was, where is Skylar's body? Rachel agreed to lead them to it, however, it was now winter and there was a lot of snow. That everything in the area kind of looked the same, and Rachel couldn't remember where they had put her, so they had to wait till the snow melted to actually find her body. Through the rest of winter and into the spring semester, Sheila and Rachel were forced to be homeschooled and didn't really have much contact with each other. Mary and Dave also knew the police were onto the girls, but they didn't know these latest developments at this time, so unfortunately they were still holding out hope and looking for Skylar. On January 4th, 2013, police got a warrant to seize every knife in Sheila's house. They also got a warrant to look in her car and found Skylar's blood in her trunk. At this point, Sheila still didn't know Rachel confessed and thought that they were in the clear. Sheila even posted on Skylar's birthday and said she hoped she would get justice for whatever happened to her, which is just so messed up considering that Sheila had caused all this. Then on April 1st, Sheila tweeted, "We really did go on three," which is just disgusting. It's almost like she was trying to brag about the whole thing, and it just makes me sick. Police still wanted to get more out of Sheila, though, so they had Rachel wear a listening device a few times when she hung out with Sheila to try to catch her admitting to murdering Skylar, but Rachel just kept getting nervous and couldn't bring it up, and it never ended up happening. Around this time, the snow actually started melting as well, and police did end up finding Skylar's body with Rachel's help, and decided that this was the best time to tell Mary and Dave everything that they had learned in the past few months, and that they had found Skylar's body.
When we first got word, we weren't allowed to even let on that we knew. So, yeah.
It was
kind of a...
We talked about it.
Yeah, and it was kind of a, we knew, but do we believe it? Yeah, it was a yo-yo.
They also decided to release the information to the press, and this was when the media coverage really boomed. The public was devastated, and they were really invested in her case, and they're just heartbroken after this news. And to top it all off, fellow classmates were suspected to be behind her murder, which was obviously super upsetting. And notice I said suspected and not arrested, because at this point they hadn't been arrested yet. Rachel did turn herself in on May 1st, 2013 after taking a plea deal with police. Basically, since she helped police find Skylar and admitted to it, she only had to plead guilty to second-degree murder and not first-degree murder. However, she was being tried as an adult. Then Sheila got arrested outside Cracker Barrel shortly after. It was kind of like a whole surprise operation. And when she was being arrested, she had the audacity to act completely shocked and ask her mom if it was going to be okay. At this point, they hadn't decided whether to try Sheila as an adult, so when this media coverage was really booming, her name wasn't released to the public, but Rachel's was. So people in the community put the puzzle pieces together quite quickly. They figured out that Sheila was the other unidentified teen, but eventually her name was released and she was tried as an adult. Sheila was indicted by a grand jury for one count of kidnapping, one count of first-degree murder, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder, and did end up being tried as an adult, like I said. Obviously, she was very hated online, and people really caught on to her mean girl, evil attitude right away. People couldn't believe she pretended to be there for Skylar's parents and pretended to miss Skylar all along when she knew full well that she was the person who caused this. And you might be thinking, maybe she felt guilty. But I don't think that's the case, because when she was in court, she would only ever show emotion when it came to her future. Anytime anyone mentioned anything about jail, the tears would start, and she would never cry anywhere else. And the rest of the time, she was smiling and flirting and was way more concerned about her hair and makeup and just was being so vain and narcissistic about it. Everyone was just shocked. She didn't end up pleading guilty at first, and her trial date was set for January 28th, 2014, but sometime in between, it must have hit her that this wasn't a joke, and she should just take the plea deal because it would probably give her a better chance at having less jail time. So she took the plea deal. Her deal was that if she pled guilty to all charges, the state of Pennsylvania couldn't tack on any more charges on top of that. And funny enough, in court, Sheila's lawyer even said that he couldn't find any reasonable explanation for her actions. Usually, lawyers at least try to have a little faith in their clients, but it was so clear Sheila didn't care and had no remorse for killing one of her very good friends, that there was nothing to defend. It was clearly premeditated, planned, supplied, and instigated almost completely by Sheila, and was very black and white. Then, 18 months after Skylar was killed, Sheila was sentenced to life in prison with mercy, meaning she will be up for parole in about 15 years, but I doubt that she'll be approved. In court, Sheila never showed remorse and never said sorry, and was only concerned with how she looked the entire time, whereas Rachel was definitely at least upset by the whole thing. She was sobbing the whole time, clearly wasn't doing well after this, and made an apology to Skylar's family in court.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if there's a proper way to make this apology, because there are not even words to describe the guilt and remorse that I feel each day for what I've done. The person that did that was not the real me, not the person I am, not what I'm made of, and not what I believe in. I don't think I ever thought this would actually happen. I became scared and caught up in something that I did not want to do. I never realized the gravity of my actions and how many people I've hurt. I hurt the niece family and those who love Skylar. I hurt my parents and shamed my family. I hurt my extended family and all of my friends who loved me. I hurt my teachers and those who believed in me. I hurt my church family, my community, and those who trusted me. And I hurt my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bring eternal peace to Skylar and the entire niece family. Again, I'm so sorry, and I pray each day for everyone involved, and I pray each day for forgiveness.
She ended up getting 30 years in prison and would be eligible for parole after 10 years. Her family also released a public statement apologizing for their daughter's actions, but Mary and Dave just said that they can never accept an apology from any of these girls, any of these girls' families, and Dave, in particular, really didn't want to accept Rachel's apology and said this to her in court.
Rachel Schoaf also murdered my daughter in cold blood. Skylar would not be where she was if it wasn't for Rachel Schoaf. You said yourself, Your Honor, this is first-degree murder. She should not give any leniency, and she can take her apologies and everything else and sit on them because that's about what they're worth to me and my wife. She has done nothing but make our lives a living hell since this day one. She did cooperate in the end because she knew that it was closing in on her, and yes, she would be caught. That's the only reason she feels remorse.
Dave is obviously very, very hurt, and Mary is too, but she said that she knows these girls have very bad mental illnesses and are just plain ugly and cruel people. Sheila is manipulative and narcissistic, and there is definitely some things wrong with her, and she says that she's kind of come to terms with that, and it's given her a little bit of peace. They both agree that these girls were always jealous of the pure heart that Skylar had and never treated her like she deserved to be treated. I also think it's truly amazing that Dave and Mary have been able to stay married and together and been able to support each other through this. A lot of families turn on each other, and it makes the whole situation even harder. So I'm just really happy that they still have each other. To this day, both Rachel and Sheila are in prison. Mary and Dave turned the spot where Skylar's body was found into this beautiful public memorial that's decorated seasonally and showered with gifts and love. And one good thing, and kind of the silver lining of this situation, is the Skylar Law. This law basically changed the criteria for an Amber Alert so that even if a child isn't suspected to be abducted, an Amber Alert will be issued. And I'm sure that this has helped so many families that have been experiencing something similar to what Skylar's family went through. Anyways, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. Make sure to check out my post dedicated to this case on my Instagram. The link is in the description. I hope you enjoyed today's case as much as I enjoyed creating it for you, and I hope to see you next Monday for another episode on A Closer Look True Crime Podcast.